This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
It is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, Field Yates and Ian Fitzsimmons in for Max Kellerman. Join us here by dialing in 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We start the second hour, we started the first year hour, which is the latest on Cam Newton. And you know what, Fitz? We're going to have our own thoughts here, but we've had some patient callers who have been waiting to chime in with their thoughts. So why don't we go ahead and head out to the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And I believe Bubba can give me a thumbs up if I'm correct. Mitch in New Jersey is up first. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Working here. Just want to ask you a couple of questions. Cam, I guess he's a free agent, maybe a couple years too late with the Rams. I'm not really happy with John Wolford as a backup. I like the Perkins guy. And they made an upgrade in quarterback in Stafford. Who would they go for? And, of course, Cam Newton, would he go for as their backup? I guess he can release Wolford now. Would they put Cam as a backup? I just want to know your opinion if the Rams would do that.
Yeah, Mitch, good thought there. And let's get into it, Fitz, for a second, because if you look around the NFL and try to find which teams make sense for Cam Newton, I think part of the calculus has to be a team that's good enough to win right now.
Scratch Houston.
We can put him out of the mix. But also a team that has inexperience at quarterback behind its incumbent starter. So there are teams that, like, I'm just going to throw it out there as an example. If Chicago, like, they're not a team that needs to entertain a backup quarterback, right? Like, some thought they should have entertained Cam Newton earlier this offseason. They're not one of those teams now. San Francisco, not one of those teams. Los Angeles, meaning the Rams, does strike me as one of those teams, though. Because, as we just heard, the options behind Matthew Stafford are John Wolford and Bryce Perkins, the former Virginia star, who kind of does
Perkins
a little bit of everything.
I've heard that he's actually, at times, looked pretty good. At times, he's also looked horrific.
He played a ton this preseason.
There's something there, maybe, with Perk, but go ahead.
Sure, for down the line. So I think you're kind of looking at a team that would need to have, like, basically a team that if they lost their starter right now, doesn't have the time to develop a young guy and hope things work out. So along those lines, I think Los Angeles makes some level of sense. But let's go back to the team that, so would you, you know, I'll say this. I think the Rams make some level of sense along those lines. I think it's unlikely, but I can understand the thinking if I'm a Rams fan that even if he's imperfect and even if he's not stylistically like Matthew Stafford, we are too good this year to entertain the possibility of John Wolford being our starter or Bryce Perkins being our starter for any stretch of time.
I agree with you from that aspect, but I'm going to put myself in Cam's shoes.
Okay.
And I'm looking at Matthew Stafford behind that O-line and those weapons, and you know what? No, I'm not going to L.A. You know, the team that I would be looking at if I'm Cam, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. That's 1A, 1B, and 1C. But he also has to accept the fact that he's not going to be a starter wherever he goes right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which team. So right now he's the 33rd best quarterback on the planet. As he said, to his words, I'm one of the best 32, and he may be. But right now the other 31 squads not named New England have their guys. He has to go to a place, in my opinion, where he can see possibly an opportunity to play down the road. And an opportunity to also just compete on a good team if he does get in there. And to me, I think the Dallas Cowboys are markedly improved with Dan Quinn as their defensive coordinator. I love the pickup of Parsons. Diggs at corner has looked absolutely sensational so far by everything you hear out of Cowboy camp. And now that we're, a week and a half away from the start of the season. And that offensive line is a heck of a lot healthier than they were last year. They couldn't have gotten any more riddled with injuries than they were in the previous year. And Zeke dropped the equivalent of a Backstreet Boy when it comes to weight. Right? So, I mean, to me, that would be the number one for me if I'm Cam. But the question is, Field, and I'll throw this back to you, do you believe, and everybody you've talked to, that he's willing to go and be a backup somewhere this year?
So I think he has to make that decision at some point. Cam has to ask himself, am I willing to go be the clear-cut backup somewhere, or do I want to go somewhere that affords me an opportunity to be the starter, which is probably only happening if a player gets hurt, because there is not a single starting job open right now. I don't care what team you say, Vince. There's not a single starting job open right now. People have been saying he can go to be Houston starter. You really think Houston, who paid $12 million to Tyrod Taylor this offseason,
nope,
is going to say, yeah, Cam, you're definitely better than Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure he is, right? He may not be. I truly believe that there is no starting job right now for Cam Newton. So he has to ask himself, on the one hand, I could wait, and it's possible that by 11 days from right now, Monday after the first week one, or the first Sunday of week one, like, there could be a job open. I hope that's not the case, right, for the sake of every player's health, but it's at least possible. This is the NFL. We've seen three starting running backs go down due to season-ending injuries before the season even began. So on the one hand, there is value to waiting because you could have a starting job. The problem with waiting is that maybe there aren't major quarterback injuries, or maybe if there are, teams say, you know what? We're going to look elsewhere, whether it's an in-house option.
We're going to look at a young guy.
Or a young guy.
On the roster,
or we're
going to
trade for somebody else. Yeah. A Nick Foles could be available in trade amongst other names. So Cam has to decide, if I wait around, there might be something there, but there might not be. And that means that I'm just going to be hanging out, collecting dust, and it's not like there's a lot of value for me, as it were, right now. We have to look backwards in order to look forwards in some ways. Cam Newton was a free agent for 86 days last year. Remember, I think he actually did a documentary that referenced 86 days. And Cam had zero interest around the league,
including his former coach in Ron Rivera,
yeah,
at Washington.
A couple different connections that just said, no, we're good, right? So on the one hand, Cam did play last year and he stayed healthy other than a bout with COVID. But he stayed healthy. But I don't know that anybody's sitting there saying, all right, Cam dramatically increased his stock. Reason I say that is what happened in free agency this year. Cam Newton got a contract just for 1 year with the Patriots worth $3.5 million guaranteed. Put differently, 35% of what Andy Dalton did or got, who was not good for the Cowboys last year.
Hold on. Get a 20 here. No, I need a full timeout. Hang on a second. Say that one more time.
$3.5 million guaranteed for Cam Newton.
Versus Andy Dalton's
$10 million. So, and amazing, right? Dalton got a signing bonus of $7.5 million. So, Dalton's going to make $10 million in cold hard cash this year. Cam got a one-year deal that could have been worth up to like $14 million if the Patriots won the Super Bowl. But he got $3.5 million, maybe it was $3.6 million guaranteed. The NFL has valued Cam differently for quite some time now. As a matter of fact, I'd be interested in hearing what Adam Schefter had to say. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, who joined Greeny earlier on today to discuss the market for Cam Newton.
He was a free agent quarterback this past offseason, and he did resign in New England at a contract value that was not commensurate with what you would expect of a former MVP and a starting quarterback. And that meant that the market wasn't there. So the market was soft for him this offseason. The market wasn't there for him last offseason. It's two straight off seasons where teams have not been exactly knocking down Cam's door. And now he's been released by the Patriots. So what is his market? I would say it's been what it's been the past two off seasons. Kind of flat.
All right. So for more thoughts on this, let's turn to a man who has been pressed into making decisions like this in his past, because when he's not joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, he's reminiscing on his days of nearly two decades as a GM in the NFL with the Jets and the Dolphins. On the Goodyear Hotline is Mike Tannenbaum, the great Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, as always, thanks for making time for us today. And if I had to ask you this very simple question, what's next for Cam Newton? What would you say?
I would say, first of all, he's as lucky as me to be on with two favorites here, Field and Ian. Boy, what an honor and privilege.
I'm waiting on the shot. I'm waiting on the dig. But it's coming, I promise you, folks. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. I'm just warming up. I would say Atlanta, to me, and Dallas. I think Cam is maybe one of the 40th best quarterbacks on the planet, guys. Maybe not top 32. but there is a place in the league for Cam. I think the more interesting conversation, guys, is the vaccination issue, and not from a political sense, but just from a standpoint that if you're signing a quarterback right now, you want somebody that's available. And if we were in a personnel department, guys, and the three of us are trying to improve our team, and there's two comparable players, one has a torn meniscus and one doesn't, we're going to go with the healthier player. And all Cam right now is doing is losing the benefit of the doubt by not being vaccinated.
All right, so pick up on that very thing, because, you know, Urban Meyer, you know, answered a question honestly yesterday, but that was more college head coach than, oh, we have to deal with the NFL Players Association head coach in the National Football League. When he was posed that question, you know, how much did vaccinations come into the bottom of the roster? And he answered honestly, yeah, it was something that was discussed. Belichick said no, had no factor. That's a veteran right there, right? And the greatest to ever do it. So when it comes into deciding, you know, on that very thing, how much is what you just mentioned being discussed in your scouting department, the front office, and the coaching staff?
Yeah, it fits. Here's the great part. Urban is as honest and transparent as possible, and he gets an investigation. Coach Belichick doesn't say much, and we all just kind of accept it, right?
Exactly.
But here's the reality. Here's the reality, guys. This is a really tough week in the NFL. A lot of players are getting cut, which is always tough. And when you're signing players, you have an incredibly small window. Now, granted, this window is a little bit bigger because there's only three preseason games. But if you're signing Cam Newton to the Atlanta Falcons because you lose A.J. McCarron, for example, you need to, as quickly as possible, get him as many plays that he can understand and go operate in a game if something would happen to Matt Ryan. And if he has to go through a longer protocol because he is not vaccinated, the reality is we would walk into Arthur Smith and say, hey, we got to go with, you know, Josh Rosen or some other option because he has a better chance of functioning in the offense in week one just because of the length of the protocol. So that, to me, has to be part of the decision-making process. That's not to say that Cam Newton won't get signed. I believe he will, but those sort of dynamics will cut against him.
Mike, let's take the other team that you mentioned a step further, that being the Dallas Cowboys, who Fitz and I have been discussing earlier on the show as a potential option for Cam Newton. I think people who are advocating for Cam signing with Dallas are saying, if something happens to Dak Prescott, presently we are out of luck because our backup quarterbacks are Will Greer and Cooper Rush. Is Cam good enough at this stage of his career that if the Cowboys had to go back to life without Dak, they could be a team that could win the NFC East?
Yes, and that's because of players like Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith coming back. And to me, I thought Cam would have played better last year field. I think another year off of shoulder surgery, I thought he played better this preseason. If that offensive line comes back to where they were with a healthy Zeke, you could get a B out of Cam Newton and win that division. I think Washington will be there as well. So obviously the backups for Dallas have not played well, as you've mentioned. I think Cam Newton gives them a better chance to win. And while I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan, guys, the reality is, like, can he make it through 17 games? And, you know, just from the shoulder strain, I would be concerned because he has to make sure that, you know, it's the old expression that Coach Parcells used to say, quarterbacks throw with their legs, coming off a really bad ankle injury. Now you throw in this lat strain, and I would be concerned that he gets through 17 games.
MT, how would you have handled Dak in this preseason? He didn't get a snap, but I would have liked to have seen him. And he even said he wanted to go in and get hit and feel that contact again. How would you have wanted to see the Cowboys handle it? The way they did, or would you have wanted him to get popped?
Yeah, Fitz, I agree with you. You know, most of the players I've been around, when they've been out for a year, ACL or, you know, situation like what Dak's dealing with, they tell you that most of the time, that last 10% isn't physical because they've been cleared by the docs. They've been cleared by the trainers. It's psychological. They have to go to the ground and get back up. You know, someone like Saquon Barkley dealing with the same thing. So I agree. I think getting some hits in a meaningful preseason game versus a practice would probably give him a better chance, you know, on opening day. And let's not forget, like, look, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. We all know that. But that Tampa Bay defense is really good. And that's going to be, you know, for the first time in live action, on the road, that place will be buzzing. That's a tough assignment for Dak.
Mike, it feels like the story of the preseason. By the way, we're joined by ESPN front office NFL insider Mike Tannenbaum here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. the story of the preseason, at least one of them in some ways, is pretty clearly the five rookie first-round pick quarterbacks. And the other side of the Cam Newton story is that Mac Jones, another starter in New England. What sort of success do you expect Mac to have or not have early on in his career?
I think he's going to play really well field, and here's why. I think he's really smart. He's been coached by Nick Saban. I liked him a lot last year, and when we were down in Mobile Field, and we saw him all week in the Senior Bowl, he looked to me like a young Matt Ryan, guys, and with a great offensive line, a good running back room, he has to play point guard. And it's that old expression, guys, if every drive ends with a kick, field goal, extra point, punt, they're going to be a really hard team to beat, and all he has to do is be somebody that can get better, not make mistakes, and function that in that New England offense, which we know is a run offense, heavy play action, take your shots down the field.
I'm all about if a quarterback battle is close, you play the younger guy. Heck, not even quarterback, any battle. If it's close, you play the younger guy. How do you view not what's going on right now in Chicago between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields? I know they're going with Andy Dalton. What would you want to see?
Yeah, that's, boy, we're agreeing on everything today. This is like, you know, the new and improved, easy to get along with. You know, maybe in the afternoon, like we're getting the softer guy here. But totally agree. And I think it's a little bit of a mindset, too, which is, you know, when we had Mark Sanchez at the Jets, to Rex Ryan's credit, guys, the mindset was stat one, day one, in May walkthroughs. Like, this is our guy. We're never looking back. And, you know, we kind of stumbled into the championship game. We had a lot of good fortune. And to me, you have a good defense in Chicago. You have a below-average offensive line, but there's such a difference in talent between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields that, to me, you got to go with Justin Fields, and you just never look back. And there are going to be growing pains. He'll make mistakes, but he'll make plays that Andy Dalton can never make.
Well, then that gives, I guess that sort of takes us to the final quarterback competition involving a rookie, that, of course, being in San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Now, worth noting that Trey Lance has a little bit of a finger issue that's going to hold him off the field for about a week. But what would be your approach, Mike? And I think one of the most interesting dynamics right now in the NFL is that if Jimmy Garoppolo's on the roster next Saturday at 4 p.m., he's making $25 million this season. That feels like a lot of money to pay a guy if he's not going to be your full-time starter.
Right, and, you know, I've had the great fortune of working with incredible defensive minds in my career, Coach Parcells, Coach Belichick, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, just on and on and on, and every one of them would say defending a quarterback who can make plays with their legs is really hard. I saw what they did in the preseason. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that in the regular season, and candidly, if we were talking 72 hours ago, I thought New England could have done something similar where you have a package for both quarterbacks, because now it becomes that much harder to defend a really good 49er offense. So, look, given what the 49ers gave up to get Trey Lance, he has to be their future. If I'm with them, I'm telling Jimmy Garoppolo, you play great this year. It's great for you and an investment in your future. It's great for us. So, to me, it's Jimmy G, but I would start sprinkling in Trey Lance. And, guys, I'm just telling you, defensive coaches will hate that. It is a burden to prepare for it.
This will make you feel better, MT. I got to put on a suit for the first time in 8 months. What's your level of confidence I can actually button the pants?
Can we put it on Instagram Live? Maybe it's a great fundraiser. Maybe it's a super view event. I mean, I'm buying tickets. I mean, there's so many good causes out there, but I would pay big money to see that on IG Live. Can we get that done?
We can make that happen, Mike Tannenbaum. And, of course, you always make it happen here, as Mike Tannenbaum joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office NFL insider. Thanks for your time. We'll see you soon, Mike.
All right, guys. Look forward to it. I appreciate it. And good luck, Ian. I can't wait to see the footage here.
There's no shot it's getting buttoned, Coach, I promise you.
It's going to be a little tight there over for our friend Fitz. And our guy Mike Tannenbaum joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up, no doubt, is it too late for the Jags to walk it back? DoorDash here with Summer of DoorDash. With Summer of DashPass. Right now, DashPass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief for less. Deliver for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try DashPass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with DashPass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions. No Doubt is next.
We'll be right back. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Field Yates and Ian Fitzsimmons in for Max. No doubt, coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-37. That's 888-729-3776. If there's a game, someone's betting on it. Stream Season 2 of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only on ESPN+.
I wasn't asked to participate. I'm
going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, guys. All right.
Good Raj, I've had some episodes, buddy. When it comes
I bet.
Sorry, go ahead.
I can tell by the conversations off air. That might be the case. You'll be on soon. But, hey, take a listen to Jags head coach Urban Meyer.
Could you share with us whether a vaccinated versus unvaccinated player had an impact on a roster decision?
Everyone was considered. That was part of the production. What's his, you know, let's start talking about this. And then also, is he vaccinated or not? Can I say that was a decision maker was certainly in consideration.
Ooh, hey, agree or disagree, it's too late for the Jags to back off Urban's comments now.
I'm going no doubt here, Fitz and Raj. And
no doubt.
Classic case of the toothpaste is already out of the tube now, right? And you've said this a couple times on the show here, Fitz. This is the college football side of Urban Meyer speaking. And while I thought Urban Meyer was being candid with what he had to say, today was a lesson of it's not always what you say, it's the form in which you share that information. And that was something that would have been better kept under wraps.
No bleeping doubt.
No doubt.
I mean, that's, again, Urban Meyer not realizing in the moment answering a question. There's a thing called the National Football League Players Association. Mm. And if you cut a dude when it comes to vaccine or no vaccine, and that had any impact along with play and whatnot, and Field, you and I talked about this earlier for people just tuning in. Field's been a scout in the National Football League, and in those meetings, if you're in the bottom end of that roster and you're going out, you're pros and cons, and you're going around the room, and you come to, all right, somebody brings up, he's not vaccinated. He won't be, you know, if he's a special teams guy, but he's also a running back. You need him in that room. How do we feel about that? That could lead to a dude being cut and losing his job and having to seek life elsewhere. Urban just, you know, answered the question, not really understanding or not realizing NFL Players Association. Gina, hey, here comes a statement. Investigation now, you know, is active. Good luck.
Too late. Hey, fellas, we got a birthday in the house. Check it out.
Who we got?
Barry Gibb turns
the Bee Gees
75 today. Hey, you guys can get down with the Bee Gees.
If you don't say no doubt, then we got problems here. Staying Alive, Holiday, all-time great songs. I'm glad we actually have the rights to play this song right now. Shout out, Barry. Happy 75th.
I don't know if we have the rights, but we're doing it anyway.
I was about to say, Raj, you're playing the role of Urban Meyer right now. Just don't answer that honestly, right? So, my wife is, when it comes to 70s cheese, she's the queen, man. So, yeah, I no doubt I'm all in on the Bee Gees. Melt me with Velveeta. Just melt it right on top of my head, man. It's cheese, and I dig it. I'm all about it.
One. Hey, it's been an up and down or a thumbs up and thumbs down week for the Mets and Javi Baez.
Yes.
But after yesterday's sweep, all is forgiven with the Mets fans and Javi Baez.
No chance. No way. No. Here's the deal. With the Mets, it's just one. So the baseball, part of what makes baseball great is that it's one game after another. And that you, just like you can't have, you have to have a short memory in baseball. And that includes when you win a game in dramatic fashion, when one of your beleaguered players is responsible, in part, for the winning run. No way! Here's the deal with the Mets. They have become the team in baseball that you must watch, even if you aren't a Mets fan, because you're waiting for the next in a long line of comedy of errors.
That's it.
I've spent more attention, or I've paid more attention to the Mets in the past month than I have the past decade combined. It is a wonderful hot mess. They've got an owner who's tweeting. They've got disgruntled players. They've got a manager who's having to deal with all of this throughout it. It is just a ridiculous situation.
It's a real-life soap opera.
It is.
And winning a couple games yesterday is not going to cure anything. A lot of people were saying, you know, last night, well, hey, they got a couple wins and all is forgiven. No, not in that city. Welcome to New York, Francisco Lindor and Javi Lopez, right? And I'm sorry, Javi Baez. I mean, as a Cubs fan, Baez is a homegrown product.
Yeah.
That dude could walk out, you know, naked onto the field and strike out six times, and he's being applauded in Chicago. I mean, that didn't matter what he did. Here in New York, it's a whole different ball game. Welcome to New York, gentlemen, and two wins ain't going to do it, no doubt. It's not forgiven.
I heard that. Hey, fellas, it's National Acne Positivity Day. Now, this coming from a brother who's only had – yeah, that's what it is, man. It's real stuff. I don't make this up. I just follow what's going on. Hey, but this coming from a brother who's only had maybe five zits my entire life. But did you guys ever struggle with acne growing up?
Right, Field never did. I'm going to answer this for Field. No,
I'm going to be real quick. No, and I'm just going to just – no, I've been very lucky. That's all I have to say.
Look at him. No. Me? I mean, I look like Mike Piazza growing up, man, on the back of me. You'd have thought I was juicing at one point, dude. I mean, it was like, I was terrified to take my shirt off. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
I'm sorry,
now, I was not on the juice, to make that very clear.
Are you sure about that? Days, is there any way to prove that or no? I need some receipts.
I hate you. But, yeah. I mean, look, teenage kid growing up in Louisiana. It's hot, muggy. Yeah.
I can't blame you.
All right.
Well, I no doubt had some fun playing a game of
No Doubt.
There we go. Well done there. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. And have you heard? It's fantasy football draft season. I'll dive into some of the players that I think are under and overvalued. You might call them sleepers and busts next. But how great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply lets you pick your favorite from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisition for Mindola Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, "I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates." Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman, K-E-L-L-E-R-M-A-N, to try ZipRecruiter for absolutely free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. Fantasy Sleepers and Busts next here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, it's Field Yates and Ian Fitzsimmons filling in for Max as we get down to the nitty gritty here. Great job by Raj all day with the musical intros. It has been quite a joy to listen to them all. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Fitz, when I'm not talking to you, which is the highlight of my day, I spend my mornings doing a podcast that's like this quasi, it's a digital show because it's not just a podcast. We stream it live every day on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and a variety of different places. So if you want to watch it, you can join us 11 a.m. Eastern Time daily on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And I talk about fantasy football. So I suppose the most appropriate way to do this is to hand the reins over to you. Do you want to play host for this final segment?
I can if I can see the screen.
Oh, that will be a problem. Well, you know what? How about this?
Let's scroll.
I'll just let you ask a couple of questions, specifically sleepers and busts.
So here we go. Yeah, I've got it now. So sleepers and busts, man. One, before we even get into like active players, because J.K. Dobbins to me was a guy that I thought was going to be a breakout player. How hard does that hurt the Ravens? Not just, you know, from a fantasy aspect, but for people out there, but just that team.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for the team for sure, right? Because he was, as you mentioned, not just a breakout candidate in fantasy, but a huge part of an offense that, as we know, wants to run the football about as much as any team in the NFL. What the Ravens are going to do now is most likely turn to Gus Edwards as their go-to guy. But we use the phrase north-south runner way too frequently when describing a running back. Except for when we're describing Gus Edwards, who almost all he does is just run between, like, it's like A-gap to A-gap is the range of his running style. It's all right up the gut, usually for like 4 or 5 yards, and not a ton after contact. It's just like, get what you need him to get you. I should say that. I shouldn't say the part about not a ton after contact, but just sort of no nonsense, all business runner. The problem is, in fantasy football, the key to unlocking greatness at a running back is being able to catch the football. In 43 career games, Gus Edwards has 18 catches. That's like 0.35 per game.
I was going to say, that's not good.
That's not much.
Even my college math, that's not good.
Right. Christian McCaffrey will push for like 6 or 7 per game. So 0.35 versus 6 or 7, plus you factor in the yards you're getting to the air. So while Gus Edwards is the man, I couldn't crack him inside my top 20 for running backs just because there's such limitations with no passing game value.
All right, let's go rapid fire. Hey, Bubba, give me a little flow here, man. I'm gonna throw a bunch of guys at field, and we're going to get some fantasy people ready to
go.
All right, Saquon Barkley, go.
Saquon Barkley, a little nervous about him this year because of the fact that we don't know he's going to be ready for week one, or at least not 100% in week one. I've got him as my 6th running back on the board, going somewhere in the back half of the first round of your draft.
Zeke Elliott,
my number 5 running back. I think that while we always hear about every player is always in the best shape of his life, we've had a bit more exposure to Zeke because of Hard Knocks, that I'm buying some of what the Cowboys are selling us right now. And while Tony Pollard's a good player, the Cowboys are committed to Zeke. He is their go-to workhorse back.
Stay running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire
was a disappointment last year in fantasy. The Chiefs only kept 3 running backs on their initial roster. They also feel as though Clyde Edwards-Helaire can do more in the passing game this year than he did last year. I've got him as what we would call a mid-tier running back, around running back 16 for me in my rankings.
What about sleeper or bust here, or maybe just too high profile because of high knocks? I'm keen on C.D. Lamb.
I do a column, or at least I started it this year, so I intend to do it year over year. It's called Field's Favorites. Very witty and creative name by me. It's players that you know the names of, but I think they're going to exceed expectations in a major way. The captain of this year's team is CeeDee Lamb.
Hello.
He is freakish with his talents. He plays in a great offense. They're going to have to throw it a lot. They'll be better on defense, but they're not going to be the 85 Bears back there. CeeDee Lamb could be the breakout candidate in football this year.
What if Dak's hurt?
Can they call Cam Newton up?
Can we call Cam Newton up? Yeah. Well done. Yeah. To bring it all full circle here
right at
the end of 2 hours. What about Najee Harris, rookie running back at Pittsburgh out of Alabama?
He'll be the rookie of the year in fantasy football this year. I think he has a chance of top 5 touches in the NFL right away. Because the Steelers, first of all, their depth behind him, it's not like they have someone that really scares you. Benny Snell is probably the top backup there in Pittsburgh. Not a bad player, but you know, a guy that probably is best served as like a special teamer / change of pace back. Najee Harris can catch the football. The Steelers are more confident in their offensive line than the public is, but the bottom line is that they need Najee Harris to be the best player on their offense, maybe right away, because if he is, this team will be back to where it has been for so many years, which is competing for the AFC North.
Jameis Winston.
So fun, so tantalizing. Not enough to crack my top 20 for quarterbacks. Quarterback's the deepest position in fantasy. And while Jameis was great 2 years ago in fantasy, throwing for over 5,000 yards, it was also 30-plus touchdowns. It was also 30-plus interceptions. Totally different offense. That was Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and no risk it, no biscuit, Bruce Arians style. I think things are a little bit more conservative in New Orleans, especially without Michael Thomas.
30 seconds. Give me your biggest sleeper, biggest bust.
All right, so I'm nervous about Kenny Golladay. I'll just start right there. Makes me nervous. He's still hurt. The Giants have a lot of mouths to feed. Kenny Golladay missed a ton of time last year because of the hip. He's an outstanding player. Never won because of like pure speed. It's always been size and physicality. That's the one that makes me nervous. The player that I'm excited about, A.J. Dillon. An unbelievable prospect 2 years ago out of the draft from Boston College. 6-foot-something, 250 pounds. I think there's a chance for him to have a role in Green Bay. And if something ever happened to Aaron Jones, he would be a fantasy rock star. How about that?
That was impressive.
That was pretty good
off
right
the top
there.
Of the head, man.
Yeah, you know, not bad. All right, again, Fantasy Focus Daily, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's all we have for the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. For Ian Fitzsimmons, I'm Field Yates. More radio coming up next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.